I'm going to preach just for a little while on this topic between Zorah and Eshtaol. Between Zorah and Eshtaol. And most of you probably have no idea what that means. But there is a place between Zorah and Eshtaol called Dan. And we're going to speak about that for a little while. If you have your Bibles, Judges chapter number 13, starting at verse 1. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Verse number 2 says, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not." Everybody say barren. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink. Eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son," notice this, "and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Notice, from the birth of this child, he was chosen by God. And what separated him from every other child, man-child, in the children of Israel was the fact that he was not to have strong drink. He was not to dabble in the things that others dabbled in. And there was no razor supposed to touch his head. A lot of people say, well, doesn't the Bible say that a man shouldn't have long hair? This is precisely why he was set apart. That's what distinguished him from everyone else. That was something God had made a special implication in his life that said this is what's going to set him separated from everyone else. And that's how you are going to know, and that is going to be his marking, is the fact that he doesn't look like anyone else. And now if you could jump over now to verse number 24. 25, I'll read 24 and I gave him 25 for the overhead, but you know me, I can't just read just one. Verse 24, and then you'll be at 25, says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of" what? "Of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." Between Zorah and Eshtaol is a place called Dan. And that is where the Spirit of God began to do special things in Samson's life. You can put your Bibles down. We're going to pray just for a few moments that God would reach into this service and touch us and convict us and change us and move us and speak into our lives. And it's very important today what we've got to say. So I ask you to ride with me as we journey into the Word of God. Can we pray at this time? Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you for every individual that's here today. God, you knew exactly every individual that would be sitting in this congregation today. You know exactly what they're going through in their life and their mind. You know what they're thinking at this very moment. God, I ask you to reach into their life and begin to touch them. Begin to move upon them with something, God, that will change them, not just for today, but until you return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There was a young man by the name of Samson. There was an individual in the Bible by the name of Samson. Samson was not just any other, just another young person, but Samson was called and he was set apart for the purpose and the working of God. His job was to bring about the beginning of the return of the breaking the bondage that the Philistines had upon the children of Israel. It is important to understand that he was not just any other child. He was called out. He was separated. He was not just another young person in the youth group. He was not just another gentleman that happened to be a part of the body of the tribe of Dan. But he was called out and separated to be a special individual within his tribe. And special is very important. I'm reminded of a story of oftentimes as us as individuals, as us men do. A story I heard sometime is a gentleman had been married for several years and he got up one morning and his wife with her little beautiful dainty eyes began to twinkle in his eyes and she looked at him and said, "Oh, honey, do you know what today is?" His gears started turning and he began to think, "Oh, no. Surely I didn't forget. I couldn't have forgotten a special occasion as this." And he thought, is it a birthday? Is it our anniversary? And the dates all started running together. He goes, "Oh, honey, you just relax. So at lunchtime, he sent home flowers. And flowers were there, and she got those flowers. And that evening, when he got home, he said, "Honey, don't fix anything for dinner. They're bringing our dinner tonight. And I want you to light candles, and we're going to have candles on the table. And this is going to be a special day, because this is our special day." And in they came as a knock on the door came. And as he opened the door, and they brought in two prime rib dinners. And he sat them on the table there and put them out on a nice plate. And he says, "Okay, honey, let's sit down and have dinner." And they had dinner. And they're finishing up and they're eating their little piece of chocolate cake. And he looks into her eyes and he says, "Honey, isn't this the best day we've ever had?" She goes, "Honey, I don't ever remember a Groundhog's Day like this." He thought. And forgetting sometimes is something that we often do. But something the children of Israel had done was they had completely just out of sheer doing things that they weren't supposed to do, had found themselves into a subjection of facing the persecution of the Philistines. And they would come in and take whatever they wanted, do the things that they never expected, that they would find themselves being subjected to this kind of persecution. And this young man was born because he was going to be the beginning of the deliverance of Israel, getting back the prominence of where Israel needed to be, getting back the power and the authority and the prestige, if you will, in the societal era of getting them back the dignity that they had once had. And we find as this young man begins to grow, I find it interesting as I begin to study for this message was the simple fact that the Bible says he was born in Dan. And the Spirit of God began to move him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the place called Dan. And I began to look up and the Bible says Dan meant judgment. It meant the place that you were judged, or the place that judgment began. And I began to think about the story or the scripture. The Bible says if judgment must begin, it must begin where? At the house of God. The place where getting things back where they need to be into the right perspective and order in our lives. And that is exactly where the beginning of the turnaround of Israel began, was right smack dab in the middle of judgment. The place that getting things back to where they needed to be. But we find that as he began to grow, he began to venture farther and farther away from Dan. He began to venture down into the Philistines area, and he began to dabble in things that he shouldn't have been dabbling into. We find even all to the point that he finds a young lady that he is interested in, and his mother and father are a little apprehensive because she's not one of the tribes of the children of Israel. And the Lord comes to the father of Samson and he says, No, don't Don't stand in the way, because what I'm giving you is a provincial hand of opportunity here to get you back to where it's not a, necessarily a bad thing. Just step back for a moment, because what you see it as is not what it really is. The Bible actually says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. God said, you know what? You don't understand, but what I am setting up is a return. And this return is a bit unconventional. This return is not what you would expect in a normal return. This return is going to be set up by your son. And the fact that I have placed this Philistine lady in the midst of your son is going to start the bringing back of what needs to be. The Bible said that even there came a day that he came to the vineyard of Timnah, and behold, there was a young lion, and it roared against him. The Bible says the power of God began to move upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily, and he says he rent him as he would a kid. I don't know about you, but that's pretty impressive that you take a lion and you just actually tear that lion apart. Kill it. Your bare hands. Now that's a man's man right there. I don't know about you, but that's not the man I want to tangle with in a dark alley at the middle of the night. That's a man that says, you know what? I will not be denied. That's a man with a purpose and a passion, and he's going somewhere. Find it interesting that the Bible makes mention of this one thing, though, and I preached a message on this one time, that he takes and he destroys a lion with his bare hands, and then it makes this statement, but he never told his mother or father. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had have taken and killed a lion with my hands, the first thing I probably would have did was, hey, Pops, guess what I did today? You should have seen that thing. I chased that joker down. I tied his tail around his ears. I picked him up and choked that thing. That's a natural tendency of a kid. But you got to understand, Samson was different. He was called out. It was not about pride. It was not about arrogance. He was called out that he kept his mouth shut. He understood what he got was not normal. It was not natural. This was not the norm of normal young persons being able to do something. But this was something that he had been set apart for. He was called for a time as this. I find it very interesting that the more he began to feel the power of God, the more he began to do. But Samson began to bet with the enemy, only to see, because of his wife was given to his companions that he had used as his friends. The Bible said that when Samson came back to get his wife after he'd been gone for some time, he was outraged at the fact that her father had given her to someone else. And you see, this is the things that happens when you're playing with the world outside. They don't play on an equal playing field. You see, he may have won the heart of the young lady, but he didn't win the heart of her family. And she was actually taken, and her father took and gave her to someone else. And Samson became absolutely enraged. Samson was furious. Her father said, well, just take her sister and be happy with that, but I can't bring her back. I've already given her to someone else. Samson was livid. Samson began to be absolutely enraged. And the Bible said that he took and he caught 300 foxes and firebrands, and he turned them loose, and he began to watch as the fields of all of those individuals began to catch on fire. And he just absolutely destroyed. Now the Philistines became angry, and the Philistines came back and said, well, you know what? You're going to burn up our crops. Guess what? The Philistines came in and killed all of his family. Killed his wife. And all recognition of what his family was there. And Samson became even more livid. And you find where Samson goes out, and I believe it was 3,000 that he destroyed that day, as he began to knock heads and began to do things that were absolutely unhuman normally to do. But then you find that Samson begins to dabble in a place. As the more he begins to see the hand of God begin to use him, he begins to get a little bit too comfortable. He begins to dabble in areas that he shouldn't be dabbling in. Samson began to be playing the fence, and one day he would be laying in the lap of Delilah, and the next day he would be destroying Philistines, and the next day he would be doing this, and then the next day he would be doing that. But he was finding himself day after day, one day for God, one day next. One day for God, one day next. One day for God, one day next. And little by little he began to gamble and play around with this authority and power that God had given him. Can I tell you, that is a very dangerous place to be. The dangerous thing to do is when you began to see the calling and the hand of God upon your life, and you began to play the fence and play the games of the things that come around. And Brother Nick can probably attest to what I'm saying is when you start, you can't go down and do good in school one time and then go goof off the next and expect to survive your school. And you can't go down there and be the town bully one week and then go down and expect to be buddies with them next. Might get you in trouble. But the reality is, this is what Samson began to do. He began to play both sides of the fence. And he said, you know what, I will just shake myself as before, and the Spirit of God will come on me, and you know what, I will destroy those that are fighting against me. But the problem was, the deeper and the deeper and the deeper and the deeper and the deeper he began to go, he began to get a little further and a little further and a little further into the things he should not be dabbling in too. And then there come the day. And I won't go through the whole story of how she finally seduced him into telling her exactly his key to authority and power. But there came a day that she actually convinced him to tell her the secret to his authority. And as he began to get up and shake himself, and he said, I will go out and I will destroy them as I've always done. I will bounce back just like I've always bounced back. This thing won't stop me because it didn't stop me before, and I can get back on top of this thing. Can I tell someone in this place that if there was things that you used to struggle with, you can't give an ounce or an inch to the devil, because he will take an absolute mile. There are things in your life, and there are things in every person under the sound of my voice, including myself, that we struggle with and we fight, that we have to keep subjection over those things and keep the spiritual authority over those things. And if it's a bad attitude, if it's a mindset, if it's negativity, if it's a carnality, if it's lust, if it's drinking, if it's drugs, if it's smoking, if it's all of those things that defile the flesh, any one of those things, if you let them get an inch hole back in, there's going to come a day that they will dominate you once again. It's absolutely critical that you separate yourself from those things. God told his father, let him take that wife of the Philistines, but he didn't say to go down and be a Philistine, did he? He didn't say go down and do what the Philistines do, did he? No, he did not. He was called to be separated. He was called to be a royal, a chosen vessel, a chosen generation, and to begin a repair of the breach that once was. But because he got so consumed in the carnality and the enjoyment and the pleasures of the flesh, anybody that tells you the pleasures of the flesh are not fun are lying to you. Anybody that tells you that feeling a high is not a good feeling, they're lying to you. Otherwise, why would so many people be trapped to going back to those things over and over and over and over until it consumes their life, until they're willing to go down and rob the CVS just to get the stuff to make it? There is a feeling that goes along with it, but there also is a bondage that goes along with the things that the devil puts out there as fun. Sin is fun, but for a season. But remember, seasons will, I didn't say might, seasons will change. And when those seasons change, you know what? It's not fun anymore. Now you recognize it's bondage, and now you can't get out. You're trapped under what you thought once was, but it ain't anymore. And now you can't escape this viral thing that has wrapped itself around you. We find people in today's society, I contend we're going to have more people doing more outlandish things in pedophilia, in pornography, in bestiality, and things than we've ever seen before, because you can take in your hand a very cell phone in your hand and go into places that nobody would ever dream you could possibly go. And I don't care who you are or what you think you are, the day you start dabbling in that garbage is the day that it will start to get a little keyhole in your life, and a little rope begins to wrap around you, and eventually it will begin to circumference you, and you will say, well, I will shake myself. I will just turn the phone off. And eventually, you know what? It will get to where you can't. And you will see your season began to change, that it's not pleasure anymore, when pleasure then becomes an addiction. And that addiction will take you to places you never dreamed you would ever, ever go. This is where Samson found himself. But you see the remnants of an addiction, the remnants of being wrapped around those things that will contain you and hold you bondage and laugh at you when you're trying to lay your head on a pillow at night and wonder if God comes back, if you're going to go to heaven or not. Wonder if you're going to survive the next day. Wonder if you're going to make it through the next high. Wonder if you're going to be able to make it through the next week, because you've got yourself so entrapped and the bills are rolling in and you're trying to pay for sin and trying to survive at the same time. And I can guarantee you sin will always win out. It always does. But it's a miserable night when you start to feel the bondage of what sin leaves a mortal man. It's a sad state. We find Samson as he went out and began to shake himself, and he began to, no doubt, grab that first Philistine. He's not a Philistine. This is my buddy. But grab that first Philistine. And he says, you know what? I'll pluck his head off. Only to find out that Philistine punched him in the mouth and said, no, you won't. He said, I've always done this before. And that Philistine says, well, this ain't no normal day. Things have changed now. You don't control us anymore. Now we control you. Imagine how hopeless he must have felt at that moment. I've always done this. But today's different. I contend every person under the sound of my voice has experienced that moment with something in your life. You always controlled it. But now it's different. Now there's more to it. Now there's more entanglements. Now it's deeper than I ever thought I would go, but now I can't just shake myself from it. The Bible says they took Samson and they took him and bound him, and he couldn't break the ropes anymore. And those Philistines were amazed that they could now control this man that once dominated them. The power and the authority that he had over their life was so massive and so powerful. They were amazed at the fact that he was like a little lamb that they could just lead around now, as if he was a little puppy dog on a string. And they viewed him as that. As they said, oh, entertain us with your tricks. And they began to mock him and they began to abuse him. And the Bible said the first thing that they did was they took him and the Bible says they put out his eyes. One of the biggest dangers of getting caught up and trapped up in the things of this world is you lose your vision. You can't see right from wrong. You don't know where you're turning. Everything appears the same. It's vague, it's colorless, and you don't know where to turn. And that's where sin will leave you. The Bible calls it being turned over to a reprobate mind, no longer knowing right from wrong, left from right, up or down. You've been so far gone into it, and you didn't glorify God as God anymore, and now God says, all right, if you want to go that way, then just go. But don't blame me for the mess you find yourself in. But God had called him for a purpose. I've come to tell someone today. In fact, I've come to tell everyone. Stephen, God called you for a purpose. Caitlin, God called you for a purpose. Patience, God called you for a purpose. Sister Denise, Brother Rodney, God called you for a purpose. Brother Miller, God called you for a purpose. The Bible said, you haven't chosen me. I chose you. I looked in a world of lost, desperate individuals, and I found you. And I posed the same question that I posed my disciples with. Will you leave all and follow me? You see, that's the hardest thing for us as individuals to do. Because we've got so many entanglements in the things of this world. Walking away from those things that we see as our crutches, that we see as the things that we have to have, only to find out their bondage. And the biggest problem is getting up and walking away from those things that control our world to follow Jesus. But Samson found himself as he began to put himself, having no eyes now, they put him out on a big round circle. As he began to walk in a circle, pushing a giant stone, as they used him to grind the powder of the mill that fed his very enemy. The enemy that he once destroyed, guess what he was doing now? He was providing the horsepower to feed their families. You know what that addiction won't tell you? Is the fact that you're funding the operation to destroy another little child that was born into the world that's going to grow up to be another addict. And you're funding the operation to feed that little child his first cigarette. To feed that little child his first high. You know what? So that they can take another one and knock out his vision and put him back on to just fund the big vicious cycle over and over and over and over again. And you don't see it because you're blinded to it. But you're funding another generation that's going to be lost for eternity. A child that grows up in an alcoholic home, Brother Nick can probably tell me this, they're most likely going to be a what? An alcoholic. Brother Tyler, you grow up in a family that don't know how to tell the truth, you're probably not going to what? You're probably not going to tell the truth. Sister Patience, if you're born up in a family that it's normal every day, you're around smoking all the time, you're probably going to what? It's going to be normal life for you. Raising a vicious cycle. Generation after generation after generation after generation. But you see, Samson was not called to keep this generation in losthood continuing going. Samson had been called so he could start the recovery of getting them back from where they should have been to get them to where they need to be. I've come to tell someone one simple thought today. Where God called you, the same place you're going to land at the end of this life. And the question is, what you did between those two points is going to determine your eternity. It's going to determine where you're going to spend the rest of eternity. Not just a morning tonight. Not just a few years. But I'm talking eternity. Whether you're going to spend an eternity in heaven or whether you're going to spend an eternity as hell is going to determine what you did from the moment you were born in Dan until the time they carry you back and lay you in a grave in a city called Dan. See, what Samson didn't realize was the fact that there was a day that those Philistines, and sin is, pardon the bluntness, but sin is stupid. Sin is ignorant. Sin has no comprehension because the Philistines, which represented that, they were so amused at what they were doing, they forgot the very thing that his power came from, and they let his hair begin to grow out. Sin isn't even smart enough to control its own. The only way sin can control you is if you let it. Think about that. Samson didn't have a means to cut his own hair. But sin wasn't even smart enough to keep it short. And they let it grow. And there came a day that Samson said, you know what? I'm starting to feel something I used to feel. You know what? This stone's getting lighter. These things don't have to control me anymore. There's something beginning to happen here. I'm starting to feel a passion. I'm starting to feel a purpose again. I'm starting to feel something. And there came a day that they had a big feast and they said, you know what? Bring the strong man in. Bring the man that can really entertain us. Show us how strong he really is. Bring him in so that we can be entertained at our feast. You think sin is just for a season, but you become a spectacle of the devil as he begins to mock you every day when you get up every morning with a hangover. As he begins to mock you when you can't even drive down the road anymore. Because you don't have a license anymore. Because you got so many DUIs that you couldn't even drive home without drinking. Because it began to control you. You see, sin is an ugly picture. And sin will mock you. And that's just what they were doing with Samson. But I find it interesting that Samson was sitting there that day. And Samson said, you know what? I've just about had enough. I'm feeling something I used to feel. And you know what? I may die doing it. But sin is not going to get the last laugh of me. He began to feel that power. I got a hunch Samson probably began to pray. The Bible doesn't say it necessarily. But I've got a hunch Samson said, God, if you've ever empowered me, I want you to do it one more time. I want you to shake this old man one more time. You know what he did? He seen a young lad. Couldn't see him, he was blind. But there was a young lad that was there leading him. And he said, young man, I want you to take me. I want to lean up against those pillars. Can you just get me to the pillars? He said, put me up against those pillars. I just need to stand there for a moment. The Bible said when he got to those pillars that were holding up that huge arena, he put one hand on the other. Probably one foot and another hand on the other. You know what those Philistines probably said? What is Samson doing? What's the matter with him? As he began to feel the power of God, as he and down came that building. And the Bible said more were destroyed in that one day than all Samson had killed in his whole life. Here's something you got to remember. Samson died too. Samson died too. But I want you to remember one key thing. The Bible says that when Samson died, there was some gentlemen that went down to the Philistine area. And they loaded Samson up on a cart. And they strapped his body down on the board. And you know where they carried Samson? They didn't just go dig a hole in the Philistine land. They took Samson right back to Dan. The place where he was called. The place where he was born. The place that the Bible says he began to feel the power of God for the very first time. They took a blind, abused, broken, beat up man. And the Bible says they buried him at the place where he was born, called Dan. They buried his body at judgment. We as individuals must be very careful. Sometimes we think we're bigger than life, and we're not. This flesh is ruthless. This flesh will destroy us if we give it an inch. But we've got to learn to let the Spirit of God control our lives. When we get that feeling that says, you know what, I don't know if I want to go to church today. There's a lot going on in my world. I'm not sure I'm even going to bother getting in and putting the keys in the car and going to church today. Be careful, because you're playing in dangerous territory. Because there's going to come a day that you want to shake yourself and get up and go to church. And you know what? There's going to be so many entanglements that you can't anymore. You're going to get blinded to the vision God has given you. And you're going to get blinded to the things that's controlling you. It's going to be bigger than life. But remember, there's going to come a day. You're going to lay your head down for the last time. And you know where they're going to bring your body? It's going to be put back in as dust will go back to dust. The same place you were formed by the hands of God. And the Bible says the very God that's going to judge your soul. A place called judgment. You know, there's not a chance to go back and rewrite the story when they lay your body down and it breathes its last breath. There's no redos on life. There's no mulligans on life. There's no, oops, I botched that one. Can I start over? No. What's done is done. All that's left now is judgment. You can look at judgment one of two ways. In fear or in faith. when you live judgment in fear, and the Bible says we shouldn't live in fear. But when you face judgment in fear, it's because you know the facts. But when you face judgment in faith, you know in myself there's no good thing. But I replaced myself with a very good thing. And I replaced myself with a life that's going to replace my life. That allows me to stand pure and clean before God at a place of judgment. That takes the mess that I put in the middle between Dan and Dan, from the time I was born to the time I died. And all they see between the two is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. Because you will stand in judgment. And the Bible says, who is worthy to open the book? But there's a spotless lamb shed for the sin of man that will allow us to stand before him whole. But every person under the sound of my voice makes the decision and the choice. God will not make it for you. Brother Rodney won't make it for you. Sister Mary Lou won't make it for you. It's up to you how you live your life. And everybody has the option of standing before judgment in faith instead of fear. As we're all standing, I'm closing. I don't want to be heavy today, but I hope somebody realizes it's not the will of God for you to take. Now hear me out. It's not the will of God for you to take what God meant for the Nick to turn this city upside down by the influence you have and to sell it out to the beggarly things of this world. It's not the will of God, Brother Tyler, for God to call you, which could be a changing point in your family, and sell it out to the things of this world.